I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Five huge lies about WordPress and web design. That's what we're going over today. And I'm really excited about it because there are a bunch of myths floating around in the WordPress web design world. And the problem with these myths is kind of like all myths. They come with kind of like a little handful of truth kind of bundled into it. But the problem is that when you believe this stuff, it is such a limiting belief. It's the kind of thing that it stifles the growth of your business. It prevents you from going out and actually helping and serving clients. It means that you oftentimes will charge rates that are unsustainable. There's so many problems that are kind of in the mix, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And so there's going to be five different things. Now, I hear a lot of myths. I talked to a lot of people. I probably talked to over 500 people in the last 6 months in one-on-one about these types of issues. But I hear a lot of different things come up over and over. And that's what I kind of wanted to kind of distill down for us today and kind of go through maybe the five most common things that I hear that have the largest negative impact on trying to run your business. So there's obviously more than just five total, but these are like the big ones that come up the most often, that have the most detrimental effect. And I think that at the end of all of this, I think you're going to come away with some new clarity and some insight on what's going on in the WordPress world today and how you can do a better job for yourself, for your clients, growing your business, the whole thing. I think once you begin to think about some of the shifts that we're going to be talking about today, I think you're going to come away with a better business and being able to help your clients, and your clients are going to be thanking you for it. So that's what we're talking about. I'm going to save the biggest myth for last because I want to spend the most time on that one. But there are a bunch of other ones to kind of get through. So I'm Lee Blue. I am the founder of Double Stack. I help WordPress developers scale their business to earn an extra $5,000 to $10,000 per month with a workload that you can kind of handle on your own before you have to start onboarding any employees or anything like that. So if you're looking to kind of scale or like maybe even double your income, then let's get on the phone and we can talk about that. But before we get into any of that stuff, let's dive into these five myths. If you're here, give me a high five, boop, and just kind of make a note in the comments or something like that to let me know you're around. And if you have any questions and you kind of want to chime in to any of this stuff, then definitely do it. Oh, I see Steve. Hey, Steve, it's good to see you, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. It's great to see you. A high five for you. Boom. I hope you're doing well, man. I really like Steve. Steve's got a bunch of Facebook groups of his own and does a great job really, getting a lot of great information out there that helps a lot of people. He's got huge groups. So definitely check out what Steve is up to. So here we are. Let's jump into the first myth. The first myth is that WordPress sites should be cheap because you don't have to write a lot of code. You're using a theme. Maybe it's off the shelf. Maybe there's not just a whole lot of programming involved, and therefore the site should be inexpensive. And it's somewhat true, right? So what I want to do as we go through each one of these myths is I'm going to point out what the truth part is, and then we'll, of course, explore why this is a myth and it's erroneous, and if you believe it, you're actually doing yourself some harm. The truth is, yes, the WordPress world is different now than it's ever been. In fact, really, the whole web design world is different now than it's ever been in dramatically different ways. For example, there's thousands of themes out there. In fact, not only are there so many themes, but people are beginning to shift from themes more towards like page builders. So, like Elementor and Beaver Builder and, good grief, there's thousands of them out there. Those are probably the top two, maybe three if you put like maybe, I don't know, I don't want to start listing names because then we kind of shift the focus. But, I would say probably Beaver Builder and Elementor are some of the biggest ones. It is true that you don't have to write a lot of code and that the skill set to develop a WordPress site is different now than it used to be a few years ago. And then if you even take it back even further, You know, where you literally had to either hand code themes or settle for like a really bad, poorly designed, slow loading, insecure, just bad theme, then it was a big difference. Like the off the shelf themes weren't so great. They were insecure. They didn't load great, whatever. And so it was really important to say, hey, if you're going to really be serious about your site, you need to put some effort into making sure that the theme itself is coded in such a way that's going to contribute to your workflow, that's going to get your brand and professional identity out there in a successful way. And you kind of needed to hand roll a lot of stuff, or at least heavily customize things. And, you know, people put that level of technical expertise at kind of on parallel with charging a lot of money for it. And now that you don't have to do that as often, like you can, you know, there's so many great themes. Like, you know, the Make theme is a great theme by the Theme Foundry. The Hello theme and the whole Elementor page builder combo is great. Astrocytes, that's another great set of themes. You know, Beaver Builders got their own theme that they've made that go with their page builder. Like all of that stuff, you know, you don't have to hand roll stuff anymore because any of those options, and probably even more than that, will get you to the same result that a hand-rolled theme used to do a few years ago, and probably even better, because now you can put all these triggers in place for different screen sizes, and you know you can look at the mobile layouts and all of these different things. And so, I'm running out of time already. I haven't even made it through the first point, but there's so much to say about this. The point, though, is that where the value used to be a few years ago, like hand rolling, hand coding, you know, being a strong developer to be able to generate that kind of code, isn't really there anymore today in the same way that it was before. And so therefore people say there, you know, if you get a WordPress site, it should just be cheap because you're not doing any of the stuff that was there before. And that's the part that's true. The part that's false is so what? Absolutely so what? Like if you're working with if your client is the business, they don't even know. They can't even tell. It doesn't even matter whether you hand-coded something or whether you took something off the shelf. If neither of those approaches generates leads, generates business, or does anything for them, neither of those approaches are successful, and neither of them should cost anything. So just the fact that you spend a lot of time, have a lot of skill, have a lot of experience, you know how to code a lot of stuff, why would a business owner spend a lot of money for that if it doesn't result in any sort of, you know, business result or outcome for them? On the other hand, you know, one of the things that's so awesome about the WordPress ecosystem right now is that there are so many more things that are available, both in terms of creating the site, hosting the site, backing it up, keeping it secure, you know, and then loading up the stuff that you need to really drive business results for your clients with, you know, landing pages and drip campaigns and sales funnels and email marketing and, you know, all the different things that you could be doing to really drive an impact, like a business result for your clients. There's so many more things now that are available today than before. And if you know how to put all that stuff together and actually generate leads and grow a business with your skill set, then there's tons of value there. There's tons. Like if you could build a website that generated $30,000 a month for your client, what's that worth, right? And does it matter whether or not you hand rolled the theme or used a theme off the shelf? You know, that part doesn't make much difference. What makes a difference is, are you reaching the audience? Are you communicating to them effectively? Are you building the audience in the first place? Do you have some sort of an outcome that you're generating for your clients? And if so, there's tons of solutions. There's tons of opportunity for that. And so one of the things that I say when somebody says WordPress sites should be cheap, I say this: if you're charging less than $2,000 for your websites, if you're charging less, so say you charge $1,500 or something, you're charging too much. But if you're charging over $2,000, then that's a reasonable approach. And so what I mean by that is, so if you're charging, this is a funny thing to kind of get your head around. If you're charging $2,000 or less, you're charging too much because you can get that same outcome on Wix or from a cheaper developer or for $500 or whatever. So what happens is people will say, well, I'm going to charge $1,500 for a WordPress site and it's going to be, you know, five pages and it's going to have this design and whatever. Well, why would somebody spend $1,500 on that when they could get the same kind of outcome, maybe even on their own through Wix or, you know, kind of like a do-it-yourself page builder, or maybe build their own site in WordPress if they wanted to, or just hire someone cheaper? And the reason that I say that is because if you're going to do a good job, then you're going to need to set up the website. You're going to need to create copy that's effective. You're going to need to connect in social media channels. You know, this is obviously fairly generic. You know, different clients need different things, but these are some of the things you're going to have to consider. You're going to need a logo and a brand. You know, you're going to need to connect maybe email marketing platforms. Maybe you need to set up some social media groups, which is different from just broadcasting out messages, and then helping your client create content for that. You know, those are all things that, I mean, it takes a significant amount of time. And if you're not doing that stuff, then you're in a different category of provider. And if you're if you're not doing that stuff and you're charging, you know, like, you know, $1,500 for it, then you can get that same kind of outcome for like $500. And therefore you're charging too much. On the other hand, if you really are going to do that, you're moving into a different category now. And that's where, you know, there's a ton of value in that. And if you have the skills to put that stuff together and then articulate what that means to your clients, there's huge value there. So the concept that WordPress sites should be cheap because they're WordPress is totally just a disgusting kind of concept, because it's not true at all, and it's really limiting. And so if you feel like because you're building WordPress sites, you therefore should be charging somewhere south of $2,000, you're missing the boat, because there's so much value on the other side. You can charge, like, I don't even accept clients for less than $3,000. And usually the initial build out phase is somewhere between like $3,000 to $10,000. And it's great value, because it's the same kind of stuff people might have spent $50,000 for, you know, a few years ago, when you had to do more of that, you know, time intensive work stuff. So that's the big thing. WordPress sites should be cheap. Huge myth. They don't have to be cheap. They shouldn't be cheap if you're doing a good job. That's myth number one. Here's the second one, and this is sort of related. It's that the WordPress economy is oversaturated, in the sense that you know, there's just so many people competing, and there's like Upwork and Fiverr, and, you know, people posting ads on Facebook and Craigslist and all over the everywhere you look, somebody can build you a WordPress site. The economy is oversaturated. And so this is the reason that this is kind of linked to that first belief, is that that is true. Like, if you look at the Stack Overflow reports and you go onto Upwork and see what an average WordPress project is, which is like $100. I mean, maybe 150, I think it was, is like the average WordPress project on Upwork. When you look at something like that, you'll see, yeah, there's thousands of people, not just in the United States, but all over the world, willing to do very inexpensive work in the WordPress marketplace. And if you're trying to compete with that, it's very difficult to do that. And that's why it's so difficult to sell technical services to people today. And what you need to do is you need to make a shift. So the handful of truth is, that is true. There's tons of people out there. You know, there's, you know, 34% of the websites are powered by WordPress now. That's like the top word. I think it's over 2/3 if you siphon it down to just content management systems. And somebody's building all that stuff, and so there's tons of people doing it. But if you have the ability to take to kind of shift, and the shift is, you know, stop being a WordPress business and start being a business powered by WordPress, right? So the difference is, the shift isn't on the WordPress side anymore. The emphasis is on the business development, generating leads, doing business strategy, and figuring out how you can actually accomplish the goals your clients have, and then using your skills to pave the road to that goal. Very few people are doing that. And so what that means is, if you're using WordPress in that way, it's not oversaturated at all. There's a huge opportunity. And the opportunity is even bigger now than before, because there's so many tools and services and platforms and stuff that used to be hard is now easy, that you have a huge arsenal of things that you could be doing on behalf of your client. And when your mindset shifts more towards, how can I actually help my clients get the results that they want, there's very few people out there successfully doing that. And most people put all the emphasis on, you know, what, you know, website design, backups and maintenance and plugin updates and SEO and SSL certificates and all the things. But when you make the shift more towards like the business outcomes that your clients need, and then paving the road to those goals with your tech skills, you know, very few people are doing that. That's not oversaturated at all. And you are going to be a breath of fresh air for your clients when you come to a meeting with that type of a mindset. So that's number two. Number three is, everybody already has a website, so they don't need my help. And this is kind of related to number two. So each one of these myths kind of stacks on the previous one to some degree. And this, but it's, but each of them have their own different shades to them. And this one is, you know, you kind of look around and you say, well, every time I go to tell somebody, hey, you know, I build websites, I'm a web designer, I can help you with, you know, kind of, you know, building up a website for you. Everyone tends to say, well, I've already got a website, I don't need your help. And that's the handful of truth. Like, that happens a lot. A lot of times people will kind of respond to your offer, whether it's face-to-face, like whether you just walk up to somebody, they say, what do? You say, I build websites. Oh, well, I've already got a website. Or maybe you send an email to somebody and you say, hey, you know, I'm a web designer and I was looking at your site and I saw problems. You know, that's, I mean, I get emails like that all the time. And then I think to myself, well, I don't care about the problems. It doesn't make any difference. You know, I don't need a website. I already have one. And so that's where the truth is. The myth part to it, the part that's not true, is yes, while people may already have a website, is the internet not working for them? You know, like, you know, why are they not generating leads? Like, is there something the matter with the internet that's causing it not to be effective for the client that you're speaking to? Or do you think that it could be the case that maybe if they did something different online, they could start generating more success? And that's the shift. And obviously, the answer is the latter, right? It's like the internet works for almost everybody, like the vast majority of businesses that you interact with, especially if they're in some sort of an industry where they're trying to reach out to individual consumers, right? So like a business to consumer style structure behind their business, you know, the internet's wildly powerful for that type of a thing. And that's the issue. So the shift is, like, if you're out there selling websites, then somebody will say, I already have a website, I don't need another one. And that opens the door to, like, well, how are we driving leads? Like, what are you doing with the website? You know, where are you finding your current clients? You know, what are some things that maybe you could automate, right? Because like we were just talking about, you know, the WordPress ecosystem has so many different things that you can be doing now that even include like automation of workflow and things like that, that make a huge difference with regard to the, like, the outcomes and the results and like the power behind someone's online presence. And when somebody says, I already have a website, what you need to be saying is, like, how is it working for you? Is it effective? You know, what's going on? Do you need to do something different? And do you believe that investing more in your online presence is going to be helpful? And that is going to be the, that's kind of like the door that you need to open to see if this is going to be a successful working relationship. And the whole point behind it is, if the person that you're speaking to isn't using the internet at large effectively with regard to driving business, building awareness, getting brand exposure, you know, developing new leads, things like that, then it doesn't matter if they already have a website or not. And the way that you overcome that type of a myth is, don't even talk about the website. You know, talk about what they need out of the results, like the outcomes, like what do they want to generate? Even if there was no such thing as a website, what are they looking to do? And then you figure out, hey, you know, what can you do to help accomplish that? And that's why it doesn't matter that everybody already has a website, because you don't have to rebuild or even redesign the website they already have. There's plenty of things that you can do with an existing site so that you don't have to say, hey, let's just throw away everything you just invested in and then do it all over again. And now you're no better off than you were before. That's why everybody says they don't want to talk. They just don't want to spin their wheels and do more stuff when they already did it and it didn't work the first time. So that's why there needs to be a shift. And when you open your eyes to the fact that that's what the shift is, then you have the ability to do a lot of work with a lot of people, and they'll be thanking you for it because your emphasis is on serving your clients, not selling websites. And that's one of the huge things, like, all the double stackers know that one of the things that I talk a lot about is the difference between selling and serving. And that's why it doesn't matter that everybody already has websites, because you're not trying to sell them a website. What you're trying to do is you're trying to serve them. And what serving them means is actually helping them get the outcomes and the results that they want, and using your technical skills and your marketing skills to pull all of that together. And sometimes that means, hey, you know what? It's not going to be a good fit, right? It's not necessarily always a good fit. You should be able to choose who you feel like you can serve the best versus, you know, maybe somebody else is kind of better at that. Or maybe you don't really care about working with somebody in that particular industry because you don't know anything about it and you don't really want to be involved and things like that. Whereas another different industry, you feel really passionate about and could do a great job and you know what it's like to be there. And you can really serve those people at a much deeper level than someone in a market where maybe you don't know too much about what's going on. Or maybe you don't even care. Maybe it's not even something interesting. Like maybe it's somebody who sells like fishing supplies and you never go fishing and you don't even care about it, as opposed to someone who does something like weight loss. Like maybe that's a big thing. Like fitness and health might be more interesting. Anyway, so that's kind of the idea. You know, the myth is everybody already has a website and therefore they don't need my help. The truth is everybody already does have a website. The myth is they don't need my help. They do need your help because everybody's out there selling websites, not serving clients. Oh, look, there's a lot of notes over here. Let me take a quick pause and read some of these notes. Let's see. What about quality versus cost? Example, we sell sites starting at $9.97 for a one-page site, but the quality is way superior to others in our space. That is an interesting point. The thing about the word quality is what really jumps out in that question. And what does it mean to be higher quality? Does it mean that it loads faster? Does it mean that it's more secure? Does it mean that it, you know, it looks better? Does it mean that it responds better on different devices? You know, what's the quality aspect? Is it technically oriented, or is the quality saying, hey, you know, it generates leads. I'm getting more referrals now. I'm actually building business now. I'm getting more people into my store because of this website. Is that where the quality is? Because you want to have both things. And if you only have the technical quality, then you're probably not driving the business results. In which case, what's the point of even paying, you know, $97 versus $9.97? So that's the kind of thing that we'd really want to talk about to figure out, you know, how can we generate quality even though it's only one page? It doesn't matter if it's one page. You know, I mean, good grief. You know, I've charged people thousands of dollars for a single landing page, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars for that sort of a thing, even for my own business. And that's a really, really big deal. Yeah, and the number of pages thing doesn't make any difference at all. What if it's one of those giant one page websites that just, you know, you zing down it for a really long time? You know, that's a lot of stuff. So, you know, the number of pages doesn't even matter. In fact, there's even people out there that have like the navigation across the top. And as you click the navigation, you just zing down further on the same page. So the number of pages, I wouldn't say makes any difference whatsoever. So if that's the kind of thing that we want to talk about, we should get on the phone and like discuss it kind of one-on-one to figure out like, you know, what's the page that you're doing? Like, what's the goal behind it? Like, what's the market that you're serving? And, you know, what kind of results are they kind of counting on you for? And then are you delivering in that area? And that's kind of how I define quality, as opposed to just technically, you know, sound websites by themselves. It's really two stacks, right? It's the tech stack, meaning that it's got to be secure, it's got to load fast, it's got to be responsive, it's got to be all the good things that are on the technical stack. But it also needs the business development stack, meaning that you have to start generating leads and have to start, you know, casting a wider net. So you're connecting in with a wider audience, or helping to educate people on how your client can help their customers. And that's the double stack, right? It's the tech stack, it's the business development stack. You have to put those two things together in order to really make the shift that we're talking about. And that's kind of the whole idea behind this whole group and everything that I've been talking about. So up to number four, we're up to the fourth myth. And that is, everybody says I'm attracting the role. Well, this can be worded in a variety of ways, but there are, but it all kind of boils down to the same thing. It's like, I'm attracting the wrong leads. People say that everybody in my area is broke. I don't know how to find leads. You know, it's some sort of a lead generation thing, meaning that you either nobody's coming, or when you talk to people, it's just not working out. And, you know, what gives? It's like, everybody's always broke is basically what it comes down to. As soon as you begin to mention a price that's north of $1,000, everyone's like, oh, that's too expensive. I can't afford that. And therefore, how do I find better leads? Like, how do I get into a situation where I'm connecting with business owners who could afford to spend, you know, a couple $1,000 on a website and get like a month to month contract for around $1,000 per month? You know, how do I find people that can do that? And so the myth is, almost everybody says no when most people present a month-to-month contract. So like, for example, if you're out there selling like WordPress care plans, you know, where you have like WordPress hosting, you do update the plugins, you do some sort of whatever you need, backups or whatever, and maybe you're around for a little bit of time in case somebody wants to update the contact information on the site or whatever, some kind of little quick update. And you say, okay, well, I'm going to package all that together and it's like $200 a month or something. Most people are going to say no, they don't want that. Especially if you weight it with like prepaid hours at a discounted rate. And you know, like some people will say, well, I'm trying to get this recurring revenue thing. And so my normally hourly rate is like $100. But if you buy like 10 of them per month, I'm going to reduce it to 85 or something like that. And so now there's an hourly rate discount. And therefore, it's a good deal. People should take it, right? Well, nobody takes it. Everybody says no. They just want to roll the dice and say, hey, you know, if there's some kind of a problem, then I'll call you. You know, it's cheaper for me to just kind of pay the higher hourly rate and just call you for the stuff I need, as opposed to be on the hook for, you know, 10 hours a month. I don't even know what to ask for those 10 hours. And so that's part of the issue. The other part of the issue is, and I would actually say the largest part, like the heart of that myth about, you know, attracting wrong leads, everybody's broke, you know, that kind of a thing. The heart of that problem comes down to leadership and confidence. That's the issue. It usually doesn't come down to they don't have the money to spend. Occasionally it will be. Like sometimes there's startup companies or businesses, or maybe the business owner's not all that serious. Like I found this to be the case a lot of times with authors and writers. Like especially in people that are fiction authors as opposed to nonfiction, because like a fiction writer will say, you know, I've got a couple of books, you know, I'd like to try to, you know, get things going a little bit, but you know, I do it in my spare time. I've got another job. Like I'm a sports editor on some website, or, you know, whatever it might be. They have another job, but they also have this kind of side hustle sort of, business thing where they do writing. And like, oftentimes they legitimately don't really have a lot of money to spend on things. But I mean, that's by far the exception. Most of the time, even with businesses where you would think maybe they might not have the revenue to spend, they actually do. They're just choosing to spend it somewhere else. Like, so I'm talking about like an electrician or a landscaping business or like a local restaurant or just anything like that, an HVAC company, you know, things where they're sort of like the transactional cost per client's not huge, and they're just kind of on their own, like a family-owned business, and therefore, hey, you know, $1,000 a month, wow, that's pretty heavy, you know, I can't afford that, that's too expensive. And so the problem, though, is it comes down to leadership and confidence. The leadership aspect is, are you leading them down the road to generate more money than you're charging them? So for example, if you're charging them $1,000 a month, are you leading them down a path where they're going to be making $5,000 a month because of your services, that type of thing? The other side is the confidence side, because what will happen with confidence is if you could say, I'm going to build you a new website, like we're just talking about in like, I think the third myth or whatever, you know, nobody has any confidence that building a new website is going to be better than the old website. And so when you begin to bring forth like this, you know, this more expensive, more comprehensive, you know, product that you're trying to offer to someone, the lack of confidence tends to be why there's no investment. And so a couple of examples, you know, I tell this story pretty regularly because it really illustrates the point really clearly. One of my clients was a dermatologist. And so he was moving from Colorado to Florida, and he was setting up shop down there, like right on the Gulf Coast of Florida. His office building was like right on a harbor with like these huge yacht boats and everything. So I'm sure just renting the office space was really expensive. He told me he was decking the place out with like all these IMAX and stuff. So like all the, like the reception person and all that stuff, you know, they've got IMAX to work on. So it's all looking awesome. And he had this like 8 foot wide etched glass logo thing that was kind of right behind the reception desk. And so he was now flying from Colorado to Florida to really scope out where's he going to put his house? You know, like where's he going to live now that he's kind of got this office situation kind of sorted out? And then he says, and I need a website. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the website, and he says, and my budget for the website's $1,500. And then he was saying, well, yeah, I don't really have the budget. I can't really afford more than that. And so obviously this is a situation where just the plane tickets back and forth to go from, you know, from Colorado to Florida or whatever, I'm sure he's spending way more than $1,500 in these tickets because he's going a couple of different times. Or what about the etched glass thing? Or what about all the IMAX? You know, what about all that stuff? You know, obviously he has an extra, say, $5,000 he could be spending on his, you know, online marketing and everything, but he's choosing not to do it because he wants to invest the money somewhere else. And so what that means is, if you had come and immediately said, oh, well, I don't charge $1,500, I charge a minimum of $5,000 for my work, you would have lost that client kind of right off the bat. because he's thinking, oh, well, $5,000, that's way too much. I could get it cheaper somewhere else. You know, there's plenty of other places to go where, you know, maybe working with you would be a little bit better. Maybe the customer service experience would be better. Maybe the quality, like Keith was just saying, maybe the quality of the page would be a little bit higher than it would be somewhere else. And maybe that'll bridge a little gap. So maybe like if someone else is charging $1,000, you're charging $1,200. Maybe it's worth the extra $200. But if someone else is charging $1,000, you're charging $5,000. You know, that little perceived customer service slash quality gap is not going to bridge that $4,000 gap. And so the way that you do bridge that gap, though, is you begin to give confidence in your solution. And the confidence is that, are you going to get to the point where you're actually causing some sort of a business outcome? And of course, again, the business outcome is different from client to client. Like, some people want to generate more leads. Other people want to book speaking engagements. Some people want, you know, more phone calls. Some people want have e-commerce sites and they're trying to get more, you know, like product referrals and like upsells and things like that. So like, there's different kinds of results that people want, which is why I try to say in a generic way, like the business outcome. But that's what I mean. It's like something that actually wins more clients or more customers or generates more revenue or gets more brand exposure, those types of things. If you can say, here's what we're going to do, and this is kind of, we're paving the road to that success. Again, that's what it means to serve clients. And that is a fundamental mindset shift from, I only have $1,500 for my website because I know the website's not going to do anything, but everyone else has one, so I need one too. And you know what? Most people spend about $1,000. I'll spend $1,500, so mine will be a little bit cooler looking than everybody else's. But that's where I tap out. You know, I'm not going to $5,000 because there's no way I can generate more than that. I mean, it'd just be a bad investment, right? It's like, why throw money away and you know, just burn money when I could be getting something for cheaper? And so it would be, you know, a bad investment to really to spend five times more than I have to. That's what the issue is. And so, so the solution then is, well, let's not even talk about like website to website. Let's talk about what we're actually trying to do and then have a results-driven approach rather than, you know, just selling. And again, this falls back to selling versus serving, which is why I talk about it all the time. Like, selling websites is 100% different from serving your clients. And so that's the issue. It's like, would it be worth it to you to spend $5,000 if you knew that the outcome was going to be something that was fantastic for you? And like, shift it to another paradigm. Like, say for example, you wanted to, like, it was a health issue. Like, I know a lot about this. Like, one of my children has some issues with digestion and things like that. And they're kind of severe. She's been in the hospital a couple of times over the last year and so forth. And if someone had come up to me and said, hey, you know, here's, you know, can you spend like $700 a month on, you know, whatever, like on a cell phone or whatever, I said, yeah, there's no way I can't afford that. I can't, you know, I'm not doing that. But if someone said, hey, can you spend $700 a month? And, you know, now your daughter's not going to end up in the hospital every other month. I'd be like, yeah, I can afford that. But only if I feel confident that spending that would actually mean she's doing better. Right. And so that's why we make that shift. It's like, I have to have confidence in two things. Like, the leadership aspect is like, I need to know what I don't know. Like, what am I buying into that I can't just orchestrate on my own? Like, you know, why is, you know, what this doctor is offering better than if I just buy some vitamins or whatever off Amazon? You know, so leadership is a component to it. And then confidence. It's like, how do I know it's even going to work? Like, you know, who is this that's even telling me to do it? Do I believe the person that's speaking? You know, are there other results that are similar that I could see? Or, you know, what can I do to sort of, you know, understand that, hey, you know what? Yeah, if you know, I do have $700. I'm just trying to choose, how do I invest it the most effectively? And will the result, like, what is, like, if someone said, what's it worth to me for my little girl not to have to show up at the hospital in all kinds of pain? I would say that's probably anything I got, right? It's like, it's through the roof, obviously more than $700. So that's why, you know, the outcome is so important. Like, when you shift it into a different perspective, then you can see how an outcome-oriented solution is so much more powerful than just selling stuff. Like, if somebody just, you know, all those people that sell all the, you know, the, you know, the, I don't know, with the pyramid scheme, kind of like vitamin stuff, you know, like you hear it all the time where people say, oh yeah, I've got these vitamins or whatever. And people are emailing you and trying to invite you to dinner to see if you want to become part of the scheme and all that stuff. It's like, that's one thing, but it's another thing. Like if I'm talking to this doctor out in Arizona and he's telling me stuff I've never heard of before and giving me access to stuff that I didn't even know existed. And, you know, that's leadership. And then, you know, because of all of that, I'm developing a lot of confidence that, hey, if we were doing this, this would make a really big difference. And you know what it did? Like, she's been dramatically better. She basically doesn't even have any problems anymore. It's like fantastic. I'm elated with that result and was happy to spend the money, even though that particular solution was dramatically more expensive than just going to the primary care doctor down the street that's just covered by insurance or whatever. That's what I mean with regard to leadership and confidence with an outcome-oriented approach. And when you show up like that for your clients in the context of their business, it's a dramatically different thing. And you can literally shift people from thinking, oh, I only have $1,500 to spend, to $5,000 in about 20 minutes. So that's the fourth myth. And here's the final one. This is number five. This is the big one. This is the one that I've been waiting for this whole time. And this is a huge thing because people feel like experience is worth more. So like the more experience you get, the more money you should make. Therefore, you should charge more. So for example, if you've got a degree in something, or if you've been coding for the last 20 years, or if you've, you know, whatever it might be, that, you know, that experience is worth more than someone who doesn't have that experience. And the truth, the handful of truth in that is, if you're going to apply for a job where people appreciate the experience, sometimes that makes a difference. Like, you know, seniority or whatever, like you go and you get a job at an agency and you've got 5 years as a, you know, as a Ruby developer, and you know, that's better than a newbie, right? So experience should cost more, but it's only in the context of people that appreciate those skills. And it doesn't, so the myth is that just because you have experience, therefore you should be charging more. That's not true at all. And if you take that mindset and apply it to your business, you will literally lose your business. You'll lose your job. Nobody will work with you. The bottom line is, you've priced yourself out of the market, because people can get the same results from someone who has less experience. And this takes a couple of different forms. Like, I'll talk to people regularly who will say, I get a lot of my work from ad agencies. You know, like, I kind of bring the web design world to this ad agency, and you know, somebody else sells the websites. I just kind of do the work. And what's happening now, though, is, you know, I'm getting better. Like, I've been doing this now for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and like, I can code faster and I can do more things than I could before. And like, I've got more experience. And so therefore, I need to raise my rates. I was charging $50. Now I want to charge $75 an hour. And so you tell the agency, hey, I'm raising my rates. And then they say, I don't need the extra service. And not only do I not need it, but my clients won't pay that higher rate either. So therefore, you can't, like, even though you have more experience, I have to let you go. I'm just going to bring somebody back in who's going to charge the lower rates. I hear that all the time. That happens a ton. Sometimes it's even worse than that. Sometimes what people will say is, they're just sitting around doing their best, and you know, they've had a relationship with this agency for a couple of years, and you know, they're getting work. And then the agency will call up one afternoon and say, hey, you know what? I've got to lower what I pay you because the market just doesn't sustain, you know, these rates. Like, you know, I was paying you 50. We're going to have to bring that down like 35. And then, you know, now you're stuck saying, you know, I'm doing better. You know, I can work faster. I can do more stuff. The quality is higher. And I'm getting thanked for it by getting paid less. And that's the problem. It's like the real reality truth is, it doesn't matter that you know how to purchase a domain name, or you can set up a hosting environment, you know how to do DNS, and you can get a MySQL database rolling, and like all of that technical stuff. That doesn't matter in the context of working with small businesses and local businesses and all of that, for a couple of reasons. The first reason is, some of the other alternatives that they might be considering don't even require that. Like, what if, for example, they're currently on Wix or thinking about building a Wix website? Well, you don't have to worry about purchasing a domain or setting up cPanel, or, you know, figuring out how to, you know, configure all the MX records to make email work and all that stuff, and databases and DNS and all that stuff. You don't have to do any of that. So just because you know how to do it doesn't mean it's worth it for somebody to pay you to do it. They could just avoid doing it altogether. And so that's one of those areas where experience just doesn't really make that much difference when it comes to pricing. And if you say to yourself, you know, I deserve more money because I've spent more time and I have more experience and I can do more things, but it doesn't result in some sort of a benefit for your client that they couldn't get somewhere else, then it's going to be a huge problem. And people literally are getting their, you know, their hourly rates reduced and sometimes getting fired flat out. Like just, they just price themselves out of the market. And that's a really big problem. So the solution to this one, and this is probably the one that I see the most people get the most frustrated over, because they literally think, man, I'm doing better work and getting paid less. That's just terrible. Like that's the worst of all the situations. And you begin to feel so just abused in ways and exacerbated, and you just don't know what, you know, which way to turn. And it's just, it's probably out of the five myths, it's the most heartbreaking, because if you buy into the fact that your experience means more money, then it's the road to a lot of heartache and frustration in a lot of different ways. Now, having said that, it depends on what the experience is in and what the outcome of that work is. Because what you'll find is sometimes you have to shift, right? So like if you've been like super deep into like PHP development in the WordPress world, a lot of that's shifting into JavaScript right now. So that's a situation where like even a deep technical skill in PHP is becoming less valuable, even though you have more experience in it, because the needs are in a different area. But you know what we're talking about when it comes to connecting in with actual businesses through web design and WordPress development and digital marketing and like the whole double stack stuff, you know, a lot of times the coding doesn't make any difference at all. And what does make a difference is, hey, do you have the ability to show up with leadership for your clients, like we were just talking about? Do you have the ability to bring confidence and integrity because you're serving your clients, not just trying to sell websites to them? And again, like what I mean by selling websites or selling services versus serving clients is such a critical thing. Basically, the idea behind selling is envision all of your services as like little widgets or whatever. And then you're at a booth and you kind of spread the booth out. And on the booth, you put all the little widgets. You've got, you know, SEO, and you've got, you know, web design. You've got, you know, maybe some content marketing, and, you know, all the branding and logo and identity and business cards. And you have all the different things kind of on your table. And you hope somebody comes by and says, oh, yeah, I need some business cards. And then you've sold business cards, right? And you do a great job trying to make really nice business cards. And then somebody else comes by and they say, oh, you know, I really need to have a better logo. Can you help me with that? And you're like, oh, great, I do great with logos. And you do a really good job trying to get just the perfect logo for them, and you sell them the logo. That's what selling looks like. And there's nothing morally wrong with doing that. The problem with it is it doesn't necessarily serve the client. So there is this kind of stigma, like, hey, you know, that's a flashy salesman trying to do all this selling stuff, and it's all, you know, disingenuous kind of on the surface. It just feels like it's, you know, not really beneficial. But sometimes it really is. Like, sometimes people say, hey, you know, I need somebody to design a logo. And you're like, I can do it. I can do it really great. I would love to work with you on it. And then you try to do your best work possible. But that's still selling. And the reason it's selling is because it doesn't think about the next step. It's like, okay, what if you sold them a logo? What are they going to do with it, right? Other than be happy, right? Because when you're selling something to somebody, your main motivation and the main goal behind it is that they're happy with what you produce, right? It doesn't necessarily take that next step to say, well, what are they going to do with what you've produced? Which perhaps might even determine whether or not they're actually happy after all, right? So like if you've got a really nice looking, flashy, shiny website that loads fast and it's responsive and it's beautiful and all that stuff, and you hand it off to your client and they're super happy with it because it looks like this fantastic, you know, piece of art that represents them online, and then you kind of move on and do, you feel like the initial transaction's awesome. They're happy. You're happy. Everything looks great. You did great work. You know, there's nothing shady going on, but you just sold the website. And that's different because, you know, you then move on to the next client, and then you start to try to do the same thing with the next client. And then that first client's now sitting there, you know, a couple of weeks go by, a couple of months go by, and nothing's happening with the website. You know, they're not getting more leads. They're not doing anything. And then maybe something kind of pops up where they need to change something, but you're busy doing something else because you don't have the business structure in place to make sure that you're there to keep helping your clients. And so no fault of anybody's, but now they have a need that's not met. And now the website's not really meeting their needs, both from a, you know, a business perspective and like an immediate need perspective. And so, you know, things begin to fall apart a little bit. And that's what selling is all about. right? It doesn't take into account, you know, where are we going with this? What's the ultimate goal? And that's what serving is all about. Serving is saying, you know, tell me what it is that you want from your business. And then what can I do with my skill set to make that happen for you, right? So if you call me up on the phone and you say, hey, Lee, you know, I've got, you know, a lot of great skill sets. I'm an awesome web designer, WordPress developer. I can do logo. I can do copywriting stuff. But man, I'm just not finding clients. And on top of that, you know, I'm not generating the leads that I need. And when I do generate leads, you know, anytime I say a price over $1,000, everybody freaks out. So like, I'm just attracting the wrong clients. You know, my job is to say, let me show you what I can do to help you overcome those issues so that you basically have, you know, the leads that you need at the price that you want so that you're building the business that you need to sustain your family while also serving your clients at a much deeper level. That's what serving is all about, to make sure that, hey, it's not that you just want like one more lead or one more website to build or something. What you ultimately want is a better business and the ability to reproduce that as often as you want. That's what you really want. You want a stronger business that's better for you because you have the resources coming in to do your best work. You've got the business structure behind it so you can keep working with your clients. And therefore, it's better for your clients because you're driving the results that they're really counting on you for. So it's better for everyone like that. And that's what serving looks like. And sometimes it means you say no. Sometimes it means, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be the best fit for you. You know, what I can help you achieve with your business is not the same thing as what you're really looking for me to do. And that happens to me a lot. Like, I'll get on the phone with people a lot of times and they'll say to me things like, I don't really care about business development. What I really care about is I just want to rock out with like JavaScript development and get React going or Angular, or, you know, write some PHP stuff for some great new plugins, or, you know, I just want to implement stuff. And like, I'm really good at problem solving and that sort of stuff. And I'll say, hey, you know what? If that's what you're looking for, double stack's not for you. That doesn't mean anything bad. It just means that what I can help you with isn't what you're looking for. And therefore, I'm not going to try to sell anything to anybody because I know that next step isn't there, the serving. Like even if I do a great job, it's not going to push you in the direction that you want to be going in. It's not going to be serving you to get the goals that you want. And the same thing applies with every area of life. And that's one of the things that's really critical. So all of that is to say that if you're looking for the kind of business where you have like a handful of clients, like somewhere between like 5 to 10 clients, and you're selling websites for at least $3,000 up to $10,000 a piece, and you're getting like that month-to-month contract where you're now using the stuff that you just built to drive the outcomes for your clients. So you really are deeply serving them at a level that is significantly better than ever before and dramatically better than everyone else out there selling cheap websites. That's what Double Stack is all about. That's how I can help. And we'll basically focus on three big things. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a variety of things that you can be doing month to month to drive business results. So it's the business, the business development stack from a technical perspective. The second thing we'll do is we'll create some marketing campaigns to actually attract the leads for the ideal clients that you want to be working with. So you figure out like, how do we actually make this happen? How do we do the lead generation? And then the third thing that we're going to do is work on business structure. And that means the structure of your client meetings. That means the structure of your proposals. And the biggest thing it means is the structure of the relationships that you have with your clients. So that's not just one and done projects. It's you've got like, you know, 5 to 10 clients each paying you about $1,000 a month. And that's how you can make, you know, an extra 5 to 10 grand a month consistently without having to burn yourself out. And it's a wonderful platform because it means that you're getting the work that you need. It means you're being valued at the level that you really deserve. And it means you're driving the results your clients are really depending on you for. So a little bit longer today. We went about almost 45 minutes, but hey, and it's Andre Fredette. I can't believe I'm seeing Andre. Boom. I haven't seen you in forever, man. I hope you're doing great. It's great to see you here. Thanks for joining in. Wow. Andre and I worked together forever. I've known Andre for like, I don't even know how many years, like 15 years. I don't even know. And that's and there he is showing up for today's session. Wow. Andre, man, great to see you. And another high five for you. Boom. Awesome. All right. So if this is the kind of thing you guys want to talk about, head over to doublestack.net/call and my personal calendar will pop up and you can get on a call with me. It's like, we'll spend like 45 minutes and we'll really dive into those three things we talked about. Like, what could you be doing from a technical perspective, like the hands-on stuff that you can be doing to drive results for your clients? And then how do we start generating leads? Like, what can we do with regard to marketing to generate the leads you need? And then how can we actually get the structure in place so that you're winning clients, you're meeting with them in an inspirational way, and you're doing it in such a way that you actually have the recurring revenue coming in so that you can continually help your clients month after month. And then we'll take those three things that we're kind of talking about generically here and scope it down specifically to the type of clients that you really want to work with. You know, where are you geographically? What does that mean for the types of markets we can pursue? What about pricing? Like, how do we get all that squared away? And so we'll scope all of those things down specifically for you in your context. So if that's what you want to talk about, head over to doublestack.net/call, pick a time that works for you. And we'll really dive into it. Right after you pick the time, you're going to see a form where you put in like your a link to your website and a little bit more information about your business so that when we get on the phone, we can just cram pack that 45 minutes with as much awesomeness as possible. So there you go, guys. Head over to doublestack.net/call if you want to talk one-on-one. And in between then, you know, if you have any questions, you want to just chime in here on this conversation, leave some notes. Don't forget that you can check these out on a podcast. They're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. So any of those places you want to get this stuff on the go, that's available. And you know, if you want to, you know, if you happen to miss a session, want to catch some of the backlog ones, doublestack.net, click on training sessions, and you can get the replays of these sessions there. So awesome, guys. Great talking to you. Put a note in the comments if you want to continue the conversation here. I'll be keeping an eye on that throughout the week. And until next Tuesday, here you go. High five. Boop. All right, guys. Take care and talk to you then.